This is the In the Money Podcast for Friday, October 10th. Tom Leach, along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. And Jim, we're going to take a look at races 7 through 10, including a Grade 2 stake. The 7th is on the turf at a mile and 3/16. A first level allowance for fillies and mares 3 and up. How do you see it?
When I first looked at the race, I really liked Jack Sisterson's horse, Vina Arana, the 2 horse for Johnny Velasquez. But the horse has been off since August of 2024. Jack does well on a layoff, 17% over 180 days. And this horse showed some ability overseas and is probably going to go off as the wagering favorite. But I like a couple others in here almost as well. And the second choice is Fleetingly for Chad Brown and Flavian Pratt. Flavian has not had a great start to the Keeneland meet. He's only 3 for 25, but he's had 7/3 and 3/2. So it's not that he's riding that bad. He may have had some bad trips, whatever. But this is Chad Brown filly, who really improved last time out at Saratoga in an optional $50,000 claiming race and only got beat 2 1/4 lengths. And the horse that ran second came back and won the next time out. So I think Fleetingly, the 11 horse, has a big shot as well. Then my third choice is going to be Irad Ortiz, who had a really good day here on Wednesday. And he's riding Cha-Cha Chuka for Mike Maker, who shows 0-for-6, but he did have a couple winners on Wednesday as well. So Mike's barn's getting heated up. This horse has been a little bit of a disappointment lately. But with Irad taking the mount, Flavian rode it last time out, 2-for-16 lifetime, and Mike gets him ready. Horse tried Kentucky Downs last time out and had the lead going down that long hill, but got beat a length and a half in a really good allowance race. So I'm going to give Cha-Cha Chuka a chance in here as well. So I'm going to stick with just the 2-4-11 on the pick four.
I went with Cha-Cha Chuka, actually, on top, second off the layoff for Maker, and you get a Red Ortiz, and fourth, but only a length and a half behind at a mile and 5/16 at Kentucky Downs, so might appreciate dropping back just a bit in the trip here. So didn't really have a strong opinion in this race. I took Fleetingly second with Chad and Pratt. The Pratt numbers you mentioned are unexpected, but this horse is 1-2-1 in 4 starts this year. The 8, Anel, intrigued me a little bit. I think off that race in May at Churchill Downs, if she can run that way again, I think she's got a shot to be in the mix here. So we'll see how this plays out. Vina Arana is the other one I wanted to use. Actually, 2 more. Vina Arana, I'm like you, a skeptical a little bit about the layoff. And then the 9, Unmerited Favor, just on the angle, it's an improving 3-year-old for Kenny McPeak, and those improving 3-year-olds can be dangerous this time of year. 8th race is 2-year-old Maiden's Mile and a 16th on the main track. What'd you do there?
Only 2 horses here. I'm between the Brad Cox horse, Further Ado, the 8 horse with Irad up. My favorite choice, though, is Todd Pletcher's horse, Vino Vici. And Todd had a great opening weekend, 5-for-8 on opening weekend here at Keeneland with, I think, 4 of those were stakes races. So Vino Vici has been out twice at Saratoga at 6 furlongs, so stretching out to 2 turns for the first time. Showed some ability there and was getting bet the second time and lost to Big Dom, who ran the stakes race this past weekend. So I think Vino Vici and Further Ado did not improve much in the second race, was stretching out to 7 furlongs. But now he gets Irad. Irad chose to ride him back from that first race on July 26th. So I expect some improvement there. The other horse.
Welcome into the In the Money Podcast for Keeneland's Thursday card, October 9th. Tom Leach along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. So we take a look at the late pick 4, no stake on the Thursday card, but a couple of nice allowance races in this late pick 4. But it starts with a maiden race, Jim, and it's always nice when they're on the front end of this. 2-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th. Who'd you like in here?
Yeah, and in this particular maiden race, everybody is run except Taylor Time, the 7 horse for Tom Amos. They've all had a trip over a track, and you've got some history there.
I took Further Ado.
And because of that, Kayla's comment
to
me
two races
is
at Saratoga were solid
a standout
around one
here.
Turn. Now gets
I didn't
to stretch out
her because
Brad Cox, and he
I'm
goes sprint
to
route 37% win rate. Algaro,
to me, the race at Ellis
turned out to be key
because
Paving
won it.
Kayla's
Comet run second by 2.5.
And then added blinkers, and that is a 29% win rate for the Chad Brown stable.
beat
so
these
I'm gonna
third
make that
place
my
horse
second
by three
choice.
And three quarters. And Sister Troy Ann came back and won
two
next time out.
So
that was a really good maiden special
on
six furlong sales park. They stretch out to a mile and 16, two turns for the first time, but they're all doing
and then
two turns pretty much for the first time. So
Came
with Comet's my favorite. I'm going to use Taylor Time, the first time starter for Tom Amos. He's 14% first time starters. And it's a not this time, and those not this times have been extremely hot these past few weeks. So Taylor Time for me is my second choice, and then my third choice on the outside. Really good work last time out at Churchill for Measure, the 9-horse Marcassi. Marcassi is 18% maiden second start. So this horse was stuck in the 10 hole last time out of the 11 horses. Got off slow, which is typical for a 2-year-old filly. If she gets out of the gate better and doesn't get hung wide, that 58 buyer stands up pretty well against everybody except for Kayla's Comet.
Go back and watch the race at Kentucky Downs.
Measure would be my third choice. And you're going 3 deep, but Kayla's Comet is my choice.
I'm going to try to beat Kayla's Comet with
Measure against a slow pace.
First time out, or the last time out. Bad start for Measure, but still finished up strong and was 11th or was 5th out of 11 horses in the race. Because and then you mentioned the really sharp work. I'm going to take the other Cassie as well,
a whole lot more with him.
Just because the pedigree's there for Melody Maker, the two, to stretch out and to handle dirt. So, and Cassie is 19% on the tough to dirt switch. So I'm going to let the other Cassie really beat me, and then I'll use Kayla's Comet for the reasons that you mentioned. I will go 3 deep to start out the late pick 4. 8th race is a second-level allowance. Fillies and mares 3 and up on the turf at a mile and a 16th. Turf going to have some more give into it after all the rain that it took on Tuesday. The 3, Reagan's Flame is where I ended up landing. Second by 3/4 at Kentucky Downs last month. And maybe getting back to her best form, improved in the second try, running on turf. The dam sire, Mizzen Mast, loved some cut in the ground, which should be in play for Reagan's Flame here.
Utah Beach,
so
Hannah Honor, and
I'm going to take Reagan's Flame in here. Not a strong opinion. The 1, Cima de Areco, is undefeated coming up out of Argentina, but I did a Zoom interview with Graham Motion. Talking to him mainly about his stakes horse, Loreline, in the QE2 Saturday. But we talked about this one as well, and he said he didn't really know what to expect. She's been off since November. He said that sometimes it takes a while for these horses coming up from South America to put it all together. He said he reached out to Nacho Correas for some advice on it. And he said, might be a work or two short. So with all of that, I'm going to try to beat her. She might just be classy enough to win while not even being at her best. But I'm going to take her second and then partier for Riley Mott, who's off to a good start. He said they were going to be doing a little rain dance, and they got it for this horse that ran well, her best race really here at Keeneland in the spring when there was some moisture in the turf course. So they were happy to see the rain, and that increases her chances. And then Malibu, I'm going to put on the ticket. She's one that really, I'm not going to use on the ticket, but you might consider. And that's the fact is, she doesn't really like to win. That's what is my knock for her. But there is some ability there, certainly. So, how'd you see the 8th race?
Well, I'm going to use Malibu, but my top pick is the horse that you mentioned from Riley Mott. Partier loves the soft turf, ran well in France. And there's one race on October 24 where it's a heavy turf. And she won that race.
Compete here.
Ran 98 time buyer, and so she came, comes over here, attaches a yielding horse in April here at Keeneland, and ran very well in an allowance race. Got beat by Sweet Rebecca, which was a really good filly at the time.
She didn't like it.
And then came back last two at Colonial and Churchill, not been impressive, but she got money both times.
10th race, starter allowance, Phillies and Mares 3 and up, 6.5 on the main track.
No way you're getting 12 on a Riley Mott horse.
I didn't have a strong
with Johnny Velasquez up. So, but I'm going to take Partier on top. I'm going to use Reagan's Flame for Lindsay Schultz. I'm going to use the Argentinian horse and probably defensively. There's no way I would bet that horse at 5-2. I don't care if she is full for four. Or an Argentina. So coming up here for Gaffley on Emotion, he just said that she probably not going to be quite ready. So defensively using go, and Mally moves the fourth one that I would use. But Partier is my
race. 9th race is a first-level allowance for 3-year-olds on the main track at 7 furlongs. How'd you see see this one.
Riding the horse,
I see this one as I've got to take a stand
special
here.
Win here at
and I took
on
a stand
last year
with the
so
10
horse
Pursuit Never
actually
Sleeps
ran better on dirt last time than
and
she is
some people
on
may
turf.
See this
gonna
68
use,
buyer two
Brunson
back
Amy for Joe
and
Sharp.
Think this horse
he is 20
just kind of freaked for
last
time at Ellis. You can draw a line completely through that 68 because this horse doesn't have any business going two turns.
The other two I'm going to use
if you take that one out, you've got a 93
buyer had an
82 buyer debut at Gulfstream.
Question about whether the
came back on a sloppy track at Churchill and backed that up with a 93 buyer. And then last time out at Ellis, had a 92 buyer.
Well, at Churchill and a 50,000
sprinter. He's a sprinter through and through. Out of Ghost Zapper, don't know why in the world you would stretch somebody out to mile 16th.
I read over
you old. I guess
a lot in the last race.
I'm
not going to let him.
But they're just going to be better. But this horse, a sprinter
on the rocks.
This race goes to 7 furlongs. I think it hits him right between the eyes. And I'm going to single
the only horse in the race
three
wins.
The other horse that I
like that
considered in here just because Larry Ravelli, his
in that
propensity for having young horses ready early.
I took the eight brunch with Amy on top.
Indiana Graham with Trey Italiani
Sharp does well in
had
the claiming game.
Buyer,
his horse has
almost
speed,
went wire to wire and won by
2 lengths.
But Indiana Grand is not Keeneland, so I'm going to think
in the
this one may suffer from the step up. And I just think Pursuit Never Sleeps.
One win, one third, and two starts at Keeneland.
As obvious a single as I could find on the card. So
Linda Rice,
going to take a stand with
Dale
Roman
saddle,
and Corey Lanham.
Yeah, that's who I have on top as well. And you gave all the good reasons. I will add one more is that. She broke her maiden in her second start on Derby Day. And for Romans have one ready to win on Derby Day,
nice buyer figure
that
maiden break, but
suggests that you know, he's got a high opinion of that horse to put him in that spot
Kentucky.
And
so
have
four.
Him be ready to run like that. So
ticket,
I think Pursuit Never Sleep probably wins this, but there are some others I'm intrigued with a little bit. Multiverse also ran on Derby Day and was third to Patch Adams that day.
How'd you structure
really
your ticket
good
for Friday?
So something close to that effort could make him a contender. BU, it's Pletcher, and this horse was entered off a win in the Bluegrass Stakes last year.
Best of luck if you're playing the Friday
win,
card
obviously,
at
but they
get out
certainly
the
had
track,
a high opinion
sure
of that one.
Funds in that Keeneland
Trey Italiani that you mentioned.
We'll be back for the Saturday edition.
That one.
The
and then I'm also going to use the 8 horse. It's GT 500. It's
coming up
Maker.
The next edition of the Other Money Podcast.
Going to heat up here at some point. Just in case, I'm going to put that one on the ticket. And then that brings us to race 10. Claimers, non-winners of two lifetime at the 20K level here. Fillies and mares three and up. If likely perspective draws in, that's my pick. The last two have been improved efforts. Stahl has good numbers going turf to dirt. Gaffley owned rides. I think that one's a really strong contender. If she draws in, handed over, I think is interesting in here. Improved in the Walsh barn and four starts and has speed and the six musical player. Aspison's horse has been running a little better than they typically do at the Keeneland Fall Meet. And he's adding blinkers here. That's a solid enough angle numbers wise for him. And then the 11 Ride the Broom, level at the race at the 50K non-winners of two other than level on August the 4th at Ellis was decent enough to, in a race, especially if likely perspective doesn't draw in, that I really don't have a strong opinion. I'm going to add that one to the ticket as well. How about you for race 10?
As strong of an opinion as I had in race 9, I have zero opinion in race 10. I went through this race three times, and I looked at the horses you looked at. Ride the Broom was probably the better one because she's dropping from maiden or from claiming 50,000 down to 20,000. That may not necessarily be a good sign because she got drilled last time out at Churchill. Every one of these horses has a reason why they're going to lose the race, and I couldn't find the horse that has a reason why she's going to win the race. They're all running mid-50s buyers. You go back and they're, you know, even I Am Beautiful, 21 for Le Perroux, Ron Moquette, 22 buyer last time out, 19 buyer before that, but then she had a 72 in her maiden breaker at Oakland. Nobody else has run 72 in here, and she's 21. So guess what I'm going to do? Hit the all button. And if somebody asks me my opinion of this race tomorrow, I'm going to say, I got no clue. So I'm going to go all.
Not a bad strategy. So what are you going to do when you come to doing your pick four ticket with that all button?
All right. got 179 with 1357 with 10 with all. $72. I agree, though, if the 13 does draw in, I would use a 13, and it would change my opinion of this race because I think the 13 is much better than anything in the race.
I have a $60 ticket, 127 with 13 with 178, 10, 12. If Pursuit Never Sleeps isn't the right one, then I think it's a little more wide open. So I elected not to single him. And then 4, 6, 11, 13 on the back end for a $60 ticket. Best of luck on the Thursday card. There is a turf pick 3. It starts in race 4. Wasn't one on the Wednesday card, but there is one on Thursday. Starts in race 4. That's any day when there's at least 3 turf races. You'll get a chance to do that $3 turf pick 3. And, oh, Jim, I had the runner-up in the last race on Sunday for $1,500 on the turf pick 3. If he just had been able to find his way to the winner's circle.
it's a fun bet. It is a great bet, and the value is always there. I mean, even sometimes when you go 3 chalks, it pays better than the parlay, but simply because it's hard to cover enough combinations with that $3 base wager, and that makes it pay even better.
Best of luck to everybody if you're playing on Thursday, and we will be back for the Friday edition of the End the Money podcast for KeenelandSelect.com.